Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. And I just want to share an announcement for you that you might remember in prayer. This past Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock, Elaine Jarrett, Mike Jarrett's mother, went to be with the Lord, and 99 years of age. And then this afternoon, there will be a visitation from 2 to 3, and a celebration of life service. For many years she knew the Lord and served the Lord. And so that will be from 3 to 4 and over in Kansas City, Kansas at the Sunset Hills Christian Church. And so we also have a sympathy card here that everyone can sign. And we want to remember, put this at the back at the end of the service. And we want to remember this family in our prayers, and upholding them in our prayers. And then just a quick reminder, we probably have now about 270 cans of vegetables. So remember, it's cans of vegetables. We're getting other things, but that's we're giving to them also. But for Thanksgiving dinner, we have here for 225 families in Shawnee. So we're about two-thirds of the way there. So we keep that in mind. All right. And then today we're going to look at the Colossians church. To God's holy people in Colossae. Well, let's bow in prayer as we begin to prepare our hearts. Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day. And we do pray for those among us who are ill or sick. Pray your hand be upon them. I do pray you continue to help Mike Jarrett through radiation treatments, and I pray for his family that you would comfort them. Thank you for the wonderful testimony that his mother had, and pray that you would bless that family and their celebration of life they have this afternoon as they remember their mother. We pray for Tim Siebold and for Sister Lynn and Sister Zhu. We pray for them. Your hand be upon them. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts that we might receive the Word of God. Pray for your power. Pray for your Spirit to anoint your servant. And Lord, that you would get the glory and the praise. And Lord, you know what needs we have in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look here at the promise where we started our series, we're looking at the church, and church doctrine, understanding the church. And so we started it, our series here, with the promise, Christ will build His church. And that promise we have about the church, we looked at that promise that was found in the Gospels. And then we've taken a look here at the seven churches. And these seven churches that we find in the book of Revelation, we looked at these seven churches in the book of Revelation. And then we've looked at 22 churches, and there was one overlap here, but 22 churches in the book of Acts. We looked at these 22 churches in the book of Acts. And now we're going to start looking at the epistles. And there's seven churches here that we're going to see in the epistles. There's a little bit of overlap here. But there's seven churches we're going to look at here. There's one church overlap, five here that were overlap. So seven churches that we're going to look at here in the epistles that were written to church and church leaders. And then we're going to look at one more message, the purpose of the church on as we look at our Christmas message. Here are the epistles. So we're going to go back to the Gospels on Christmas Eve and look at the purpose of the Christmas. And so this is our series that we're looking at here on the church and understanding what the church is. What is the message that God has for us as Christians and as a church? So we're looking at these. Today, we come here to the city of Colossus. And if you look at the map here, you see where it's located. Now, this is one location that Paul did not go to. As we look at this here, Colossus was a city in Pygra, the southwest corner of Asia Minor, never visited by Paul. It's interesting that this church was founded by Epaphras. As you look at these verses here, you learn that it was from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras visited Paul. It was probably one time in Rome that he visited him. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. And he is also wrestling in prayer for you. What a picture that is. He not only started that church, but he wrestled in prayer for that church. That you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. And I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. These three cities were closely located. And a Colossus, Colossae, we get our word, the English word Colossus, meaning huge. At one time it was the larger of the three cities. And then we see that it then became the smaller of the three cities. And so as we look here at the message to this church, and what is the message that God would have for us, for this church? And I think the message we can learn here, Colossians, the book of Colossians is written that Christ ought to be first, the supremacy of Christ. And the truth is taught here that Christ is supreme. And if we keep our focus there, we can have the power as Christians and power as a church. Now think about this. What are the sources of electric power? We'll make an illustration here. In the United States, the sources of electric power are natural gas, coal, nuclear, hydro, water, wind, and biomass, different fuels. And then, as we think about that, how does this power get to you and to me? Of course, draw kind of a picture here of what that looks like as we think about that power. There is what we call a power plant. All right, where that power is produced from all these different sources. That power is produced in that power plant. And then from that power plant, it comes to our homes, to the electric lines here. It comes to our homes that brings that power from the power plant to our homes. And then in our homes, we have where we can plug in to that power. We can plug in our power. And we have different electrical appliances we use. And so we plug in to that power. We use maybe sometimes extension cords or whatever, but we have a cord that plugs into that power. Now, sometimes you wonder, you have something, I don't know, maybe it's your phone or some kind of appliance that you use, whatever, shaver. And you wonder, why is it not working? And you realize then it's not been charged or it's not been plugged in. Or it's been plugged in and charged, but you forgot to turn it on. All right? So these are things that we need to be plugged in to the power. We need to turn on that power that is available to us. And so that reminds us also of spiritual power. What are the sources of spiritual power that we have? If you look at that today, and what does that? How does that spiritual power get to us? Now, here's a verse that I think is both a truth and a promise to us. And Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 29 to 31. I'd like for you to read this verse with me. All right, let's read this together. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And not be faint. You know, we all can grow weary. We all can feel weakness and tired and weary and stumble and fall. Even young people. And, you know, that's especially in our culture here, it's a symbol of strength, young people. But even the young people, that can happen to them. And so, as we plug into that strength, that power, then we can soar on wings. We can run and walk and not be faint. And so, this is a promise that we have. This is a verse that we can take a look at here. So where does our spiritual power come from? The source of all power. We see here that Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Consider that question. Is anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God's power cannot reach? We know that God is all-powerful. We use the big word, omniscient, which really means all-powerful. There's nothing that He cannot do. I know that You can do all things, Job said. The weakness of God is even stronger than man's strength. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. So God's power is supreme. And human strength is insignificant in comparison. All right, so we all need to plug in to the source of spiritual power. First of all, this is the power of God, God the Father. Lord, You are not the God. Are You not the God? Excuse me, who is in heaven? Power and might are in Your hand, and no one can withstand You. Now, here in Colossians, we're also reminded of God's power as demonstrated in creation. And we look here at Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So that people are without excuse. We see in creation around us the power of God. It was demonstrated to us last night. Thunder and lightning. I remember as a small child that always amazed me, the power of thunder and lightning. A demonstration again of God's power all around us. And the source of power is also found in Christ. God the Son. And here we see Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 and 19. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. All the fullness of God, all the power of God dwells in Christ. So Christ also has power over creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. He not only has the power to create and to control all things, but He holds them together. So we see the power of Christ. He has power over the church. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in Him He might have the supremacy. He has also power for salvation, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or making by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. The power that Christ has, not only in creation, over the church, but in our salvation. One of my favorite hymns, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. The power to forgive us of our sins through His sacrifice on the cross. There's power in the blood to wash away all our sins. There's power in the blood to change our lives. As an example of Paul, his life was completely changed on the road to Damascus. And God's working in our hearts. There's power in salvation. And then Christ also demonstrated His power through His resurrection. Romans 1, verse 4, through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by His resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So there is power in Christ. And then we see also that there is power of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, we're reminded again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus told His disciples, I must go. When I go, it is that you can do greater works because of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you the power. And Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. We are strengthened by the Holy Spirit and given that power. So think of it, we can think of it this way. As we look at this power, we looked at the electrical power. So here we think of the power that we have. God the Father. The power that God the Father in creating everything. God the Father, the source of all the power. And God the Son, who came down to this earth. Think of it this way. He came down to this earth. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God became flesh and dwelt among us, bringing the power of God in our midst. Jesus Christ came down to this earth. And then the Holy Spirit, the power of God's Holy Spirit. As God gave us His Spirit, and we're plugged into that power. To me, it's interesting. Every time I plug in something, I see three prongs there. As I plug it in, it reminds me as a Christian that I need to be plugged into the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's a good reminder to us. There are three prongs that you plug into. And so as a Christian, here I am as a Christian, or here the church is, and we need to be plugged in. Plugged into the Holy Spirit and plugged into the God the Son and God the Father. That this is our strength, this is our power spiritually, that we're plugged into the power that we do not have. We're weak in ourselves. And so our identity is in Christ. Our power comes from God. Now the source then, number two, the source of Christian power. The source of Christian power. The source of all power, of course, is God. And then we look closely, we see here, what do we have as Christians? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. All right, the word there is a word for power. All authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is part of the Great Commission. And all power has been given to Him. And Christ then gives us all power, His power, to fulfill the Great Commission. And we see this in the power of our position. In Christ, we see this phrase throughout the book of Colossians, reminding us of our position. We are in Christ. We've been put in the body of Christ. We are put in that position through Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. So we've been placed in the body of Christ. That is our power. It's not going out on our own. It's the power we have in Christ and in His body. And then there's the power of filling Christ in you. Look at the Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 29. Christ in you, to whom God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now think about this. This was a mystery. In the Old Testament, this was a mystery, unknown. But this mystery is this, that Christ is in us. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive Him into our heart and into our life. Christ in you. And there, all the energy of Christ so powerfully working in us. Now remember we talked about letting Christ be on the throne, letting Christ be in control of our lives. So we have the power of filling Christ in you. And then the other source of our Christian power is the power of connection. This other phrase we see, all right? In Christ, Christ in you. And then the other phrase we see here in Colossians, repeated often here, with Christ. Since you died with Christ, the power of connection to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? All right, we are dead with Christ. We are connected with Christ. We're dead to these things of the world because of our connection with Christ. That's where the power is, our connection with Him. And see then that you have been raised with Christ. All right, dead with Christ, raised with Christ. Of course, baptism pictures that for us. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. And He forgave us all our sins. And so we see here this powerful message as Christians. Here is our power, not in our flesh, not in ourselves, but as Christians, here is our power. All right? So first of all, we're reminded that we are in, I am in Christ. I'm in His body. This is my position in Christ. And so there's that position of power in Christ. All right? I don't have any power of my own as a Christian, but I'm in Christ. I'm in His body. And so there's power with that. And then there's power in this. Christ is in me. All right? So Christ is in me. And again, I'm reminded of this fact that there is this filling and letting Christ control my life, letting Him be the ruler, putting Him on the throne of my heart. Christ in me. And then there's also that the fact that I am with Christ. I with Christ. I am with Christ. And there's that power of connection. I am with Christ. And that connection, there is power. I am with Christ. Let me tell you a story. A little boy was playing in the playground. And these bullies started picking on him. Like kids do. Starting to push him around and punching on him. And all of a sudden, the little boy got up. He'd been kind of knocked down. He got up and he looked at these boys. And their eyes were big. And they were looking at him, and all of a sudden they weren't bothering him anymore. Their eyes were big. And finally the little boy turned around and there was his big brother behind him. I'm with him. The big brother reminded them. I'm with him. We're connected. You harm my little brother, you gotta face me. I'm with him. So, that is our power. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And we are with Christ. There is our power. And we need to remember that as Christians. Remind ourselves of that. Pray about that. Lord, give me the power. Give me the strength. And remind ourselves in our prayers, Lord, I am in You, and You are in me, and I am with You in both the death and life. So we have the power as Christians. Now, number three, as we look at this, the power of the Christian living. And this is very important for us to consider. Living as Christians. Living it out, the power of Christian living. There are the virtues and disciplines of a Christian life that give us power to live the Christian life. First of all, there's the power of faith. The power of faith. Because you have heard, we have heard, Paul said, we've heard of the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. We have faith in the Almighty God. Genesis 17:1, Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him. Here he revealed this name to God, that I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai means I am the God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. As we put our faith in God the Father, He is the Almighty God. Faith in Christ. I love this verse here, Philippians 4:13. I want you to read this with me together. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, through Him who gives me strength. As we face the Christian life, as we live out the Christian life, there are struggles. I can. Do this. I can live out this Christian life through Him, through Christ, who gives me strength. This verse was brought home to me as a young man. I was learning to drive, just like some of you young people here are learning to drive. Well, after I learned to do the automatic, that's easy, driving automatic. You got to learn the other things about driving, but automatic was easy. So then my father said, I think it's time for you to learn how to drive a stick, a manual. And so I was learning how to drive that. That was going along okay. Then I got my test. Now this driving test was a real driving test. And not far from my home, there's a hill. At the top of that hill, you got to stop. There's a big highway here. before you can turn, you got to stop at the top of that hill. So I came up to the top of that hill and I stopped. And I tried to scoot up a little bit closer and the car started to drift backwards. Started to go backwards. And I said, "My father, I can't do it. I couldn't get that car to go forward." He said, "Yes, you can." And about that time, the test got harder. A car came up behind us. Now I had no room for error. I couldn't back up any further. And then my father reminded me this verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so, taking that verse as a promise, I can do all things. When we feel like, "I can't do it! I can't do it!" Remember that verse. "I can do this through Christ who gives me the strength." And let that be a prayer as we lay hold on that promise that Christ will give us the strength. One of the testimonies, a powerful testimony, many of you have maybe heard of Nick. Nick is from Australia. His parents, I believe he's from Australia, and his parents, he was born. If you don't know the story about Nick, he was born with no arms and no legs. No arms, no legs. You talk about weakness. No arms, no legs. And he learned how to swim. He learned how to dive. You can see this online. He's written a book called Unstoppable, The Incredible Power of Faith in Action. Unstoppable. Faith in Action. Nick goes around the world giving his testimony, telling how that through Christ can do all things. Faith, unstoppable. The power of faith in action. And here is a wonderful example of that, Nick. There's also the power that we have of love. The power of Christian living is not only faith, but love. "Because we have heard of the love you have for all God's people, it had spread, the love they had for one another." Yes, we're to love God. We ought to have a love for God, just as Jesus told us. The first commandment, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, with all your strength." And then we ought to have a love for others. The second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to have a love for God's people as well. Love the church. You know, it says this verse here, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." You know, Christ loved the church. Somebody who says, "Well, I don't love the church. You know, I go worship by myself." That's not. Christ gave His life for the church. We ought to love the church. That doesn't mean the church is perfect. No. But we ought to love the church. Christ died for the church. He loves the church. And we ought to have a love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And the power of this love is something to be seen. The world knows nothing of that. The power of faith, the power of love, is the power of Christian living. And then we also have, in Christian living, we have the power of hope. "The faith and love that sprang from hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you." As Christians, we have hope in heaven. We know that one day, because Christ is in us, we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become children of God, that we are going to heaven. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and there's hope then in the message, and do not be moved from the hope that is held out in the gospel. And so we have the power of faith, hope, and love. Now I think about this. You know, I come into a room and I flip the switch to turn on the light. And that's the exercise of faith. I don't understand how that all works. I turn on the switch and somehow that turns on the light and somehow that electrical power comes from the power plant. I don't understand how that all works. I can't explain it all to you, but by faith I turn on the switch. And God would have us in Christian living to exercise faith. Turn on the switch. Believe. Put your trust in Him. Turn on the switch and ask that God's love be in your heart. And faith, love, and hope. And the power of Christian living is also the power of the gospel. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understand God's grace. There was a power of the gospel in the lives of that church at Colossae. And Paul also reminds them, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then also to the Gentile. The gospel bears fruit. The gospel spreads. There's power in the gospel. Now, we have power to change somebody's life. You give them the gospel in love, faith, and sharing your hope. And then the power of the gospel, God's Spirit taking over and working in the hearts of others. There's also the power of thanksgiving. And many times throughout this book of Colossians, it mentions the fact that we ought to be thankful. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray for you, giving joyful thanks to the Father, overflowing with thankfulness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body we are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There is power in Christian living and giving thanks. It's easy to complain. It's easy to look at this and that. If we start giving thanks to God, realizing what God has given to us, there's power in thanksgiving. There's power in prayer. The power of continual prayer. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God. There's power in continuing prayer. We must not cease to pray for one another. There's a power of purposeful prayer, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so you might have great endurance and patience and joy, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share an inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And then there's also in the power of Christian life, there's a power to put off the old self. And so Colossians tells us, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. But now you must also rid yourselves of all these things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. How do we live a victorious Christian life? How do we put off these old deeds of the flesh? It's in the power that He gives to us. And then the power also to put on the new self. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. And so we need power The source of all power is God. Christian power. We are in Christ. Christ is in us and with us. And in the power to live Christian life, to live out the Christian life. And so it is God's energy that empowers us. Now, Paul used two different Greek words for God's energy. Dunamis, which we get the English word dynamite, means inherent power. Power that comes from God, the source of all power. And then kratos, which means manifested power. Power that is put forth in action. We turn on that switch, exercise faith and love and hope. The grace of our Christian lives is but the result of God's power at work in our lives. Spiritual growth and maturity can come only as we yield to God's power and permit Him to work in us. We usually think of God's glorious power as being revealed in great acts of daring. The Israelites crossing the Red Sea. The Red Sea parting. What power that took. David leading a victorious army. Or Paul raising the dead. But the emphasis here in Colossians is on Christian character, patience, long-suffering, joyfulness, thankfulness. These things, putting off the old and putting on the new, living the Christian life is the greatest demonstration of God's power. Turn on that switch of letting God's power in our lives. And so the source of power is God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we are like the little electric appliances. Apart from that power, we're useless. We can do nothing. But when we are plugged in to the power of God, when we are turned on, we're reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So we need to be plugged in to the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today. We confess to You our weaknesses. We confess to You our lack of strength. Father, we pray You are the source of power. We're reminded of the fact that we are in Christ and Christ is in us and we are with Christ. And the power of the Spirit of God to help us to live out the Christian life. Lord, help us to plug into that power and to realize that every day, day by day, we look to You for the power and the strength to live out the Christian life. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.